Matthew chapter 18 today. You know, this message today, this passage, is going to pertain to everybody here today because we're going to be talking about Jesus finding the lost sheep, those that have went astray. And it pertains to everybody in here today because either you are a lost sheep today, or you're a lost sheep who's been found. You're one of the two. So everybody in here today fits into one of those two categories, and this passage will have a meaning for you. Look with me in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 18. It said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today. And God, we just want to thank you for another beautiful day that you've made and given to us to come and worship you. And God, I do pray as we come to the scriptures today that as we look, Lord, we know that this passage relates to everybody here. And God, if there'd be one here today that is lost, God, I pray you'd open their eyes to see their need of you. Lord, I pray that today they'd be found and they'd be saved forevermore in Christ Jesus. And God, if there'd be one here today who's a believer that has gone astray, I pray that you'd begin to bring them back unto you. And Lord, for those that are close to you today, I pray we'd grow closer to you. As that song they sang earlier, that we would learn to lean on you more and more. And Lord, find power that we never thought possible in you. Lord, be with us today. Send your Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and convict us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about these lost sheep and what that means, I think, you know, a lot of times in church, we use the term lost a lot. And we talk about being saved and lost. And sometimes I don't know that we've really made clear what that is. But when I say that we're lost today, here's what I mean by that. Every single one of us have gone astray in our life. There is not one here who has not gone astray. There's not one here who has not done what they ought not do. The Bible says that all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and that means all of us have. The Bible says that there's none good. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. All of us in here today are sinners. Now you say, well, that's fine. We're all sinners, but what does that have to do with me? What does that really matter? Well, here's what, why it matters is because, there is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a place where we will go and we'll spend all of eternity. And Jesus Christ came to die in our place, and die for our sins so that we might inherit, eternal life. And I would argue this today, that you were born and that we're here and that we are here, so that we might be saved and live a life that would be honoring and glorifying to our Creator and our King and our Master, Jesus Christ. And when we think about that term lost as well, the term lost means that you don't know where you're at. You just don't know. And there's a lot of people who come into church and they just don't know. They don't understand being a sinner. They don't understand Jesus' death. They don't understand the way to heaven. They just don't understand. They don't know where they're at. They don't understand those things. There's billions of people on the earth today who believe this, that if I'll just do good, I'm going to make it to heaven. and they are wrong today. I just told you that the Bible says there is none good. If just being good would get you to heaven, then my question to you would be this: why did Jesus Christ come and die on the cross? Why couldn't we have just been good? And by the way, when you say that I'm good, you do understand that you're saying you're good off of your standard. What you think is good and what you think is right. There are people that I know today that are living in absolute sin and absolute destruction and immorality. And you know what they'll tell you? That they're good, that they're right, that they're doing fine. And the problem is, it's not about whether I think you're good or you think you're good. It's about what God thinks. And God said that none of us are good. That's why Jesus came and He died. Now, I got good news for us today. Whether you are a lost sheep that's never been saved, whether you are a sheep that maybe like that was in the fold and had went astray, and Jesus is going to come looking for you, the good news is today that we have a Savior that is seeking us out today. There is not one of us here that Jesus Christ is not concerned about and seeking you in your life today. Look at what the Bible said. It said, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them went gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? Look down in verse 14. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Here's the good news today. It's not God's will. It's not His desire. It's not His plan or His hopes that any one of us would perish and go to hell. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every one of us today to be in the fold. You might think today that, man, being in the fold is a selective group, that God would say, no, I'm going to pick and choose who I want, and I'm going to pick and choose the best of the worst, if you will. But the reality is that He says, I want every one of you. Jesus Christ came and He died for the sins of the whole world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever lived or ever will live, Jesus died for him, and He wants you to be saved. He wants you in the fold. You know, another thing about being lost means this. It means I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You know, I've invited people to the church before, and I've had preachers that would come to the church before, and missionaries, and they would call me and couldn't find it. Amen? They couldn't find this place. If you put it in GPS, it brings you down. Sometimes it'll bring you down some road somewhere down the road, some hunting club road. And they've been some people really get lost and say, where in the world are we going to? And they're not where they're supposed to be. There's been some who thought they wasn't where they're supposed to be and wound up at the church. Said, oh, this is where it is, out here in the middle of nowhere. But Jesus wants you to be where you're supposed to be. And that's with Him, and that's in the fold, and that's to be saved and to be right where you are. Now, it said that a man would leave the 99 sheep that's in the fold, and he would go off into the mountains seeking that one that went astray. Jesus Christ today is relentless in His pursuit of us. He'll go after the one. And you would think maybe He would say, well, I got 99 more. I don't need the one. I've got plenty. I don't need that. I'm not important. But I want you to know this, that God thinks that every single one of us is important. We're not important in the grand scheme of things in this world. The folks up in Washington, D.C. don't care a whole lot about us. I don't know if you know that. If you think they did, I'm sorry to break the news today. They don't really care about us. And we're not that important. And there's a lot of, 300 million people in America, and 2.99 million of them don't care about us. But Jesus Christ cares about you. He cares about your kids and your grandkids and he'll leave the 99 and he'll come find you. You know what's awesome about today? We've met here at this church and we've opened God's Word and we've come to worship, and I want you to know something today, that Jesus Christ is here. And He is here pursuing men and women and boys and girls and trying to bring them into the fold. Now, we can't see Him, but we know He's here. And we know He's out here pursuing us. And you say, well, how does He seek us? How does He come after us? Well, number one, by the Holy Spirit is always drawing us in a lot of ways. Number one, most people in this world are living their life with a constant void. They wake up every day and do not feel fulfilled. They wake up every day seeking and searching for something that'll make them happy and give them joy and give them what they're looking for. And they might not even know what they're looking for. And there's some people who look for it in money and power and prestige. There's some who look for it in drugs and alcohol and fun and partying and all these things. Some look for it in toys and houses and things they can acquire. And guess what they find about all of it? Like Solomon said, I've built houses and I've planted vineyards and I've acquired lands and I found that it was all vanity. You see, there's nothing that can fill the void in you like Jesus Christ can fill it. It's a void that only He can fill. And as we seek that out, I want you to know that that seeking is not just us. It is God seeking us. It's not us just trying to find joy. It's God seeking us to find Him. There is not anyone in the world today that hadn't ever thought this. Where'd we come from? I tell y'all all the time, I do a lot of thinking, and sometimes I think some crazy things, but I think we all think, where'd we come from? How'd I get here? How'd the world get here? There's got to be a creator. There has to be more to it, you know. There's some folks that believe in evolution, and they believe in what they call the Big Bang Theory. Now, you tell me how there was just some big explosion and all this come from all that. You might could convince me that some kind of bacteria grows down there in the creek, but you can't convince me that that bacteria is going to turn into a person and they're going to walk out the creek. That just ain't going to happen, okay? All this order and all this precision does not come from chaos. Go out here. My kids like fireworks, and man, we get fireworks every time it's fireworks season. And we go get bottle rockets, and I buy a pack of bottle rockets every time. I got so many bottle rockets at the house, we just put them in the shell in the cabinet till next time. But we buy them M60s and M100s and all that. And the kids like to try to blow things up. And never once have we ever blown anything up and something was created out of it. Like it never got better. We never lit a firework and man, something just got better because of it. That doesn't happen. And so we know that as we look around us, we know that there had to be something else out there. You know what all that thinking is? All that thoughts about creation and all that thought about why I'm here and the meaning of life and the purpose of life, that is all God saying, come and find me. Find me. Seek me out. Those that seek me will find. Those that ask will be answered. Those that knock, the door will be opened unto them. And we need to begin to continue to seek out God in our lives. He is relentlessly pursuing us in those things. That's that need for a purpose and a belonging. I'd also say that He seeks us in this, and I don't know that I've ever talked about this in 14 years here at the church, but look at what it said in verse 10. It said, take heed that your spies are not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I do believe, according to this scripture and others, that we do have guardian angels that look over us. And it says here that they're angels. behold the face of the Father that is in heaven. And we don't talk about it a lot because, you know, as Baptists, we don't, and it's really our fault and it's not good. We don't really get out there in the supernatural world a whole lot because we know out there there's a lot of crazies out there. Okay. Is that okay to say? There's people who we don't want to get into it where next thing you know, you've had a dream, and because you had a dream, you bought a car, and because you had a car, and all that. You know, people can get out in the deep end on all that. But I want you to know that there is a supernatural world. Let me tell you what's going on today that we don't see. There's a supernatural world. There's angels that are here that you do not see. And they're here attending to the services. We're here, got dressed, came to church, going to go home and eat, and we just living our life. But in the unseen world is going on. And I want you to know that you've got angels that watch over you. And you know what they do? You say, what do those angels do, Brother Derek? Well, I think they do a few things. Number one, I do think they protect us. I think they protect. You know what would happen? The Bible says the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he came to do. And you know, if he had the ability to do it, you know what would happen to all of us today? He'd kill every single one of us. We wouldn't make it back to church tonight. If the thief, the enemy, Satan got to do what he wanted to do, he'd kill us all here, he'd burn the church down, and that's what would be going on around the world today. But he don't get to do it because we've got a protective hedge about us and we've got angels that protect us. I can say in my own life that God, the invisible hand of God, has protected me countless times. And not only did he protect me countless times that I know of, but he's protected me a lot of times where I didn't know. I didn't know what was around the corner. I didn't know what might have happened. But yet, we got protected from it. I'd also say this, that our guardian angels also, I believe they pray for us. It says they behold the face of the Father. And I think in heaven, I've got angels that pray for me and ask God to help me and bless me and take care of me. And I think that he does it for you as well. And then I think there's times when they push us, and the Holy Spirit does, and angels do, and they say, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. And they give us that gentle push in the direction we should go. Now, I said that, and we need to remember this. God has a crew of angels that are working. And then we've got a person called the enemy, Satan, that also has a crew that is working. And if you think you've got guardian angels, isn't that good and great and wonderful? And we're thankful for that. And there's also demons out there in that supernatural world. And guess, just like our guardian angel protects us and prays for us and gives us those gentle pushes, those demons that are out there, you know what they do? They tempt us with sin. And they tempt us to go the way of the world. They tempt us to go the way of the enemy. They set traps for us. You believe the devil's got traps set for you? If you don't believe it, you better wake up and look around your life and say, I better be careful. Because he puts those things out there in all of our ways to mislead us. You know why there's so many religions in the world today? Because the devil set traps all over the world. And what he wanted to do is say, he wanted to put a big sign up and said, this is the way to heaven. Everybody, no church says this is the way to hell. Come join the church that says, hey, come here and you can spend eternity in everlasting fire. That church is empty today. Amen. All of them say this is the way to heaven. And the devil did it to trick and trap people into going there. So we got to be careful. They're out there the Bible says that they're thieves and they want to steal and rob us of our joy. They want to rob us of our purpose. They want to rob us of our souls. And so this battle is raging. But I got good news. The Bible says greater is he that is in us, in me, than he that's in the world. I believe we know from the scriptures there's more good angels than there are bad. And God is at work in the world. But he pursues us through that. But another thing that happens, another way that God pursues us is the Bible says that Jesus prays for us. It says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He talked about Peter and he said, he told Peter, he says, Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. And today, Jesus Christ prays for us. He prays on our behalf. And he asks God to help us. I think for those that are lost, he prays and says, God, save them. I want to see them saved. You say, well, why do you think that? Well, when he was on the cross and he was being crucified, he looked down from the cross and he told those around, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. You think Jesus has ever went to the Father on your behalf and said, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Father, forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's making a mistake. He's making a mistake and we want to forgive him. He prays for us. You know, the other thing is how God seeks people is this. The church ought to be mobilized to action today. God uses us as vessels to seek out the lost. And we ought to be out sharing the gospel with people. If you know about heaven and you know about hell and you know about Jesus Christ, then we ought to be sharing him with others. I've said this before, but you know, my mom died of brain cancer. She had melanoma cancer. It started on her skin and it spread throughout her body and spread to her lungs and then eventually spread to her brain. And cancer just ravaged her body and ended up taking her life. And had I had a cure for that, had I had a pill that would have cured cancer and I kept it to myself, didn't give it to her, y'all would have all said that I was evil. What an evil son to have could have cured his mother of this horrible disease, but he kept it to himself. Brother David mentioned in devotion this morning, read the scripture that at the name of Jesus Christ, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day we'll be there while every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing, and there'll be people there who will look at us and say, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you tell me about this day? You're over here saved. You obviously knew Jesus. You obviously knew that this day was coming. You knew you made provisions for yourself, but you didn't tell me about it. Why didn't you share it with me? And the church ought to be mobilized to action today. You know, we got the crazy thing is, and I don't understand this, but we ought to be witnessing. We ought to be the light of the world, as the Bible says, a city that's built on a hill that cannot be hid, as believers, each of us. And we ought to be sharing our faith with others. We ought to be telling people about Jesus. And we got a barbecue at church next week, and those people won't invite nobody to come. I mean, you don't even have to share a scripture. You don't have to know the Romans Road. You don't have to, you know, get up here and preach a sermon. Just invite them to the barbecue next week. And I'll stand up here and preach, and maybe they'll hear the gospel and God will do something. We don't ever know. But it's a shame if we won't. We live, our problem today is we live in such an evangelized area. You know, my kids went to 26 vacation Bible schools this summer or something. I don't know how many they went to, but, you know, I'm exaggerating there. But they go to a bunch, and every church has them, and there's a church on every street corner. And some of y'all passed multiple churches to get here and all that stuff. And because of that, we think our need to witness is not there. But I want you to know that is wrong. That is wrong. Do y'all know that there's lost people in the parish? I hope you do. They're there. Do you know that if everybody came to church today that lived in Washington Parish, I mean, they can go to every other church there is. Everybody just fill the church. We wouldn't be able to seat everybody. We don't have enough building space to seat 45,000 people in churches in Washington Parish today. There are people that need to hear, and it's our job to hear them. And again, let me tell you another thing now. We do that, and we ought to be witnesses, but every week, you know, this year, in a couple months, we're going to have our homecoming. And we're going to be celebrating 95 years as a church. The church here at Oak Grove has been meeting for 95 years. And for Sunday in and Sunday out, the church has stood as a light into the world. And people could come in and they could hear. And as we just being here is a witness unto the world. We are a light in a dark world. We're a hospital for those that are hurting and those that are needy that come and hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But we ought to be out seeking people for the kingdom of God's sake. Then it says this. So as Jesus seeks people, and by the way, he sought me out. I mean, as God would let me know, Derek, there's something not right. You're not saved. I remember I made a profession of faith when I was 9 years old, and I got baptized and I joined church. But I knew that there was something missing. I knew that I hadn't really taken the step of faith to trust in Christ as my Savior, and God would pursue me, and He would burden me, and He would bother me, and I didn't understand it all, right? I knew the answers, but I didn't understand how. You know what God wants to do? They sang that song, Learning to Lean on Him. You know what God wants you to do today? He wants you to wave the white flag and surrender. Say, I can't do it. I need you to do it. I can't save myself. I need you to save me. I can't walk the Christian life and the Christian walk. I need you to walk it with me. And that's what He wants. And man, when we do that, He'll save us. And then here's what it said. In verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. You know what happens when somebody gets saved? There's rejoicing in heaven. That a new name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, as believers, let me tell you, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. I want to invite everybody out to Sunday school, our adult Sunday school class, what we do. The kids go to their classes, but we got those reading calendars out there in the foyer. And we read a chapter of the Bible together every day. And I encourage you to just get one and read it. If you're not reading God's Word, that'll help you. And we come in here and we talk about what we read. And you don't have to talk. We don't make you stand up and give us a breakdown. You can just come and sit and listen. I think it'd help you. But we talked this morning about this battle that goes on. And you might be here today and saved and have gotten astray from God. You've backslidden a little. You've made some wrong choices. You've done some things that you regret. Can I tell you today that everybody sitting here has done that at one time or another? Everybody in here has been saved. That is saved. Everybody in here that's saved has done things they regret. Everybody in here that's been saved has not lived as they should. And there's this battle that goes on. One of it is the Holy Spirit convicts us. And He says, you ought not do that. He says, you're a new creature and you ought not act like that. And that ought to lead us to repentance. But then the devil comes over here and says, I want to beat you down in guilt. And I want you to stay defeated. You know what the Bible says that we ought to do? We ought to come back to Jesus. And you know what happens when we come back to Jesus? He rejoices. He rejoices. There's a story in the Bible about the prodigal son. He got his inheritance and he went off and he lived. The Bible calls it riotous living. Not righteous living, but riotously. He lived a life of, if he was living in today's time, it would have been a day of drugs and alcohol and parties all night and immorality and horrible things. And he woke up in a hog pen. And he said, the servants at my dad's house eat better than I'm eating. He said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to beg that I can come back. And when he came back, the father made a great feast and welcomed him back and said, my son has returned home. We think that we're not going to be welcomed back. We think that we'll be shamed or you know, the guilt trip put on us, but we'll be welcomed back. They'll be rejoicing today. You know, I think about Adam and Eve when they sinned. They're there in the garden. They took the fruit. And the Bible says they went and hid themselves. And God came to them in the cool of the day and called to them, and they were hiding, and he said, "Why are you hiding?" Right? That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to sin and mess up and then go hide. Don't come back to church. Don't pick up your Bible. You ain't worthy to be there. You go hide. But what God says and what God wants is come back. Come back. Get back where you need to be. What I say to you today is if you're a Christian and you're a believer and you've been born again and you mess up or you backslide or you have a bad day or you have a bad moment, you ask God to forgive you and then you live in the light of that forgiveness. God forgives and He forgets. And we need to live in that light. And don't let the burden of guilt drag you down. Don't let the burden of the shame of sin drag you down. You get up and say, "God forgave me, and I'm going to live in the light of that forgiveness, and I'm going to move forward." That is what repentance is. That is what God calls us to do. Say you're sorry and get up and move on for God. And do it. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I pray that today you would make a decision to follow Christ, that you'd be born again, that you'd ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be King and be your Savior so that you could know Him and you could walk with Him. As Brother Randy comes and Emily comes to the piano, I want you to know that God is seeking you today. Whether you're saved or lost, I don't care who you are, man, woman, boy, or girl, there's a God in heaven that's seeking you and wants to know you and wants to have a relationship with you. Why don't you stand with us today?
Page 249.